I hope that you'll pray for the message of God today. Not for me. I don't like to ask prayer for myself. I want you to pray for the message of God. Pray for this church. Pray for these lost people. Pray for us collectively. Pray for the world that the message of God would have its effect in our hearts and the hearts of lost people. John made this statement in chapter 3 and verse 1 of 1 John. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Now, I want to speak to you today on what manner of love. But I want you to hold that thought in your mind as we talk about this today. What manner of love? And that word manner means of what kind or sort. What disposition, what character of love, what quality of love is what that means. We live in a world where that the use of the word love has become so cheap . People say, I love you all the time, and they have no idea what they're saying. Love is associated more with sexual activity than it is with its true meaning. People talk about being in love and out of love, and we see marriages that are falling apart. We see homes that are ripped apart. We see children that are torn apart because their parents can't love one another. People say, I love you, and then do things that totally contradict the statement. Love is cheap in the world we live in. I thought about this morning as I was meditating upon this, and I thought about Adam and Eve, and my wife recently had a Bible study in our home with some young girls, and they had some discussion about marriage and the home, and we talked about that before that she had that study, and we talked about how that the first marriage in Eden before man sinned was perfect. God put Adam and Eve together there in the Garden of Eden, and before that sin entered into the world, their relationship was absolutely what God intended it to be. And I thought this morning, I wonder what kind of love they had one for another. Well, I know the answer to that question, because it was God's love that they had. So we need an understanding of what this verse in 1 John is really saying. When we read it and we read about this, and it says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's a glorious thought when we think about the great God of heaven. And we sang about that this morning. How great thou art, the unseen hand. How God loves His people. How He loves this world. How He does things that are beyond our comprehension. Because He loves us. What manner of love? That word is agape. Now, I know you hear it defined, and I believe that's true, that it is God's love. It's a God-like love. It's a love from God. But I want you to listen to what the definition of this love is. And I want you to understand more about this verse. The definition is affectionate regard, goodwill, or benevolence. With reference to God's love, it is God's willful direction toward man. So what this says to us is that love is an action. It is a willful direction. The definition goes on to say it involves God doing what He knows is best for man and not necessarily what man desires. God's love is a love that is not selfish. It is not self-centered. His love was a willful direction towards mankind. Did you know that when God cast Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, it was an act of love? The Bible said that He cast them out that they might not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and live forever in their lost condition. The flaming cherubims at the garden, at the gate, were there as a symbol that they would have to come back to God, God's way. It was an act of love. God has always desired what is best for us. He desired what was best for man. He wanted man to have a relationship with God that was based on a mutual love. You guys know the story, and I'm not going to get into that. Sin entered into the garden, and that is why today love is cheap. Why is the love in our homes? Why is the love in our church? Why is the love in this world not the love that it should be? It's because sin is in the world, and sin is in the way. There's a Bible definition of love, and I want to get to that a little bit later, but I want you to notice this verse. He said, what manner of love, what kind of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. That word means to give of one's own accord and with goodwill. Romans 5:5 said this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now you see, there's more to this verse than the rejoicing that God has blessed me with His love. God has given it to us. God has placed it within us as saved people. Now, lost people don't have it. If you've never been saved this morning, you might have a fleshly love, but you don't have the love of God. But God has given it to us. He placed it within our hearts when He put the Holy Spirit in there, when He saved us, when He took out that stony heart, that old heart of flesh, and the Bible said He put in a heart of love. And on top of that, it's a heart that has written in it all the laws of God. Yeah. God gives you a spiritual conscience when He saves you. When the Bible said that it was shed abroad in our hearts, the word shed abroad means to pour out. Strong even said it means to gush forth. It wasn't just a little dab, or do you? It was a filling up. It was a filling of the soul, a gushing forth from God into the heart of a believer. That's what the Bible said. It is a love from God. It's a love toward God. And He said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We are the children of God. That's what that word sons means. It means male or female. It means an offspring of God. So what does that say? It says that when God saves us, He unites Himself with us. He places His love, which is a portion of His character, within us. You cannot live a life of sin and be a child of God. You can't do it. Can't. The Bible doesn't teach any such thing. So God has shed His love abroad in our hearts that we should be called the sons of God. And then I want you to look at this last portion of this verse. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Now that word know means to understand. The world does not understand our actions, our behavior, our attitude, our personality, our character. Why? Because they didn't know the Lord Jesus either. And we are like Him. That's what He's saying in that verse, is that the world doesn't understand us because they didn't understand the Lord. And we are like the Lord. We have His character. We have His disposition. We have His will within us. We have His laws within us. I think it's a big statement that John made. It is a wonderful thing when we feel the love of God, and that is bestowed upon us. And I love to be where I can enjoy the presence of my Lord and feel His closeness and His love. But brethren, I'm going to tell you what, that love goes farther than just my enjoying it. And you see, that's the way we are sometimes. That's the way this world is. When we say we love somebody, why do you love them? My wife's going to shoot me today because I keep talking about her, but a lot of times I'll just come out of the blue and I'll say, "Honey, why do you love me?" And she'll sit there and she'll think about it and she won't answer. Still trying to figure it out, I guess. Why do we love people? Why? Think about it. In this flesh, we love people many times just for what they can provide for us. You may not like this, but it's the truth. There's a lot of false love in this world. There's a lot of selfish love. There's a lot of love that all it has at its center is me, 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 me. Why do you love to go to Walmart? Do you particularly like the store? Do you particularly like the people? No, you like the low prices. Love in this world, in the flesh, is cheap. But the love of God costs the most of any. What manner, what kind of love, what quality, how expensive was it? Man, you can't put a price on the love of God. Love of God is perfect, and it lives within us. You say, what are you getting at? Brethren and sisters, our actions in our life speak volumes. I said to you earlier that love is a willful disposition. It's a willful direction. That's what God's love is. That's what love is. It's something you do because you want to. Some of you young boys out here in school and stuff there, you might see a pretty girl in school and you want to love her because she's pretty. And you'll do everything you can to get close to her and to make her like you and make her even love you. But you can't make somebody love you. They have to want to. Man, God loved us. The Bible said when we were yet sinners, and every one of us is ugly in the eyes of God. There ain't no pretty people in this world when God sees us, because we're all full of sin and wickedness and iniquity. But God loved us, and He sent His only begotten Son to the cross, who also loved us, and He died and paid the penalty for our sin because He loved us. He did it willfully because He wanted to. He had a desire towards us. Man, that's a great love, isn't it? How do we know that God loves us? This is important. John wrote on over in this third chapter of 1 John in verse 16, he said, "Hereby perceive," and that word "perceive" means that we just begin to know. That's what it means. We begin to know. He said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." If God had never made a move toward man, if He had never made a plan of salvation and just sat back and said, "I love y'all, but yawn yawn. I really love you, but... well, you sinned against me." But God didn't do that. God moved. He made an action. He did something that lets us know that He loves us. You can say, "I love you," all day long. All day long, every day of your life to someone. And if you never do one thing that lets them know it, they'll never believe you. They'll question your love. God's love moves. It acts. It does things that are of the character of God. Many times, church people, we have a problem reaching down deep inside of our souls where God put that love and getting it to the surface. I know y'all don't like this kind of preaching. But it's been on my heart for a long time. The church has begun to look like the world. All you got to do is look on Facebook. You'll find out. Y'all ever read the things that you like and that you pass on and share to other people? Do you ever read the comments? Do you ever look at them to see if it's fit to pass on, to see if it's fit to associate your name with? Do you ever do that? I told you you wouldn't like it. Our language, how we talk to one another, the rudeness, sarcasm, hatefulness, cursing, swearing, whatever you want to throw into that category, we don't talk to each other like we should. We say things that are hurtful. We say things that cause people to stumble in the Lord. We have anger problems. We have anger issues. Why, we can get angry just like that. Is that God's love? Is it? No. Because the Bible said that God is long-suffering to usward, to you that are lost. God is long-suffering. He's willing to suffer your sin that you might have an opportunity to be saved. What if God had been as quick to anger on each one of us that are saved today when we were lost? Huh? Was God patient with you when you were lost? Was God long-suffering with you when you were lost? Were there times when you could have died in your lost condition, yet God let you live that you could get saved? We have resentment toward one another. Somebody said something that I didn't agree with or didn't like or said something that just really didn't sit well with me, and I just go around resenting him all the time and never do go to him and say anything to him about it. The Bible teaches us that we're going to have these problems. We live in a body of flesh. We talked about it last week in our class. We live the inner man that is redeemed, that's saved. He lives in a body of sin, and he has to deal with that body of sin. And Paul said that he brought his body into subjection to that spirit that lived within him, that he would not be a castaway. And that's the same word as reprobate. He didn't want to appear as a lost person, as a sinner. So our actions speak volumes. We like to run to the 7th chapter of Romans, and we use that many times. We want to talk about that and say, well, look what Paul said. I have this war, and I have to fight this, and it's such a struggle for me, 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 me. Oh, woe is me. I'm saved, and I've got this struggle. Oh, poor, pitiful me. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the 7th chapter of Romans is not an excuse to sin, and it's not an excuse for sin. Paul was teaching those people that they were saved, that they had a spirit within them that was redeemed and whole and pure and sinless, and they lived in a body of flesh, but he also told them how to deal with it. The reality of what Paul was teaching is realized in chapter 6 and 8, that the saved person has the law of God written in his heart, and it dwells there. And his tendencies are to righteousness, goodness. His tendency is toward the character of God. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to really think about this morning, and I'll try to hurry up and be done. Why do we succeed or fail in life? What makes us successful and what makes us fail? Why are our homes falling apart? Why are marriages falling apart? Now you can look at the world and you can look at the divorce statistics in the world and you can see how large they are, but don't be deceived. If you look at the Christian community, it's about the same. Now, what's wrong with that? What about our children? Why do our children fail? Why are they not in church? Why are they hanging with the wrong crowd? Why? Why are all these things going on? Why is our church less spiritual than it was? Why are we having issues with spirituality? Why is all of the emotionalism and the things that are worldly creeping into the church? Have we misplaced our love? The Apostle John wrote to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and 4, and the Lord said unto him, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I don't know about you, but I believe that was the love of God that he was talking about that was put within them, that somehow had become discarded, it had become smothered by the things of the world and the false teachings and whatever was going on at that church. The love of God was suppressed, and sin will do that. When our relationship with God is not what it should be, when we're not praying, when we're not reading the Bible, when we're not coming to church, when we're not talking to our children about the Lord, when we're not meditating in the Word of God, when we don't carry that song or that scripture with you during the day to keep rolling over in your mind. I'll tell you, people, if you turn on your radio in your car and you listen to rock and roll, that's what you're going to hear all day. If you turn on your radio and you listen to a gospel song, or you hear a gospel song, or you read a scripture, that scripture will roll over and over and over in your mind all day long, and it will keep your heart and your mind focused on the Lord. You'll be more aware of your obligation to the Lord who bought you and saved you, and you'll be aware of that law that's written in your heart. It's there. I just want to run down some things here with you. If you'll think about these things this morning, and I thought about this message before I got up here to speak this, and I asked the Lord, I said, let me preach this in a way that people will know that I love them. I love the cause. I love the Word of God. I love the church. I love these people that are lost. I want to see them saved. I want to see the church prosper. I want to see the kingdom prosper. I want to love like I'm supposed to love. The Bible said that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, have everlasting life. That's how we know that God loves us. I want you to think about Jesus and His love and His life. I want to go down through these real quick. There's 15 characteristics of love that are mentioned in the Scriptures. 15. I'm not going to try to preach on every one of them. I just want to tell you what they are. But I want you to do a self-examination of your love. How are we responding to one another? How are we treating one another? How are we loving one another? How are we loving lost people? How are we loving our children? How are you loving your wife today? The Bible said you're supposed to love her like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Love is a sacrifice. It's not about you. It's not about me. Real love cares about the other person and will give up in order to let that person have what they need. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4, and I'm not going to read all these verses. I'm just going to go down through the characteristics. You can go back and read this. Read it real slow. The word here it's used in 1 Corinthians 13 is charity in the English. It's the same Greek word, agape. Absolutely the same word. And I want you to notice something in the first part of this chapter that Paul said this. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You can come to church all your life. You can give all your money to the church. You can do all the good things that you can have. You can stand up and testify. You can prophesy. You can do all these things. But if you don't have love, you don't have anything. According to Paul, charity suffereth long. The word means long suffering. It comes from two Greek words that mean long and anger. It means slow to wrath, slow to anger. Not hasty to anger or punishment. Anger management, that's what it is. We need to control our anger. The flesh is going to rebel against the spirit that lives within you, and it's going to say, get mad and get even. It goes to how you deal with your children. It goes to how you deal with your spouse. It goes to how you deal with your boss at work. It goes to how we deal with one another in the church, even in a business meeting. Slow to anger. Charity envieth not. It's not jealous. We don't envy our brothers and our sisters because they have a greater blessing than we have. Maybe we ought to consider where they are with the Lord and where we are. But real love doesn't get jealous. It doesn't envy. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity doesn't boast or brag. Real love is not all about me, 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 me. That's all that's saying. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemingly. That means unbecoming. True love's not going to misbehave. Not going to act out. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. It's not selfish. It's not what's in it for me. We hear that a lot, don't we? Would you do something for me? Well, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? Why should I do that for you? Real love doesn't ask that question. Not easily provoked, not easily irritated or hasty to be angered. Thinks no evil. Real love does not think evil of the other person. They put the best possible construction on it. It requires absolute proof before we determine that that person has made a mistake or an error or is in sin. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Real love does not find pleasure in other people's sins. Real love doesn't joke about it, doesn't laugh about it, doesn't talk about it, doesn't advertise it. Real love will go get that brother or that sister and try to help them out of that thing that they're in. Real love doesn't pick up the telephone or get on Facebook or the internet and broadcast it to the world. Don't put your sin on the internet for everybody to see. Keep it a secret. You say, preacher, you mean I'm supposed to cover up my sin? Why, yes, sir, I believe you are. You're going to have to repent to God. He's going to deal with you over it. He's going to punish you for it. But don't advertise it to the lost world. They don't need to know. Rejoices in truth. In the unveiled reality. Real love doesn't lie. Doesn't cheat. Real love doesn't deceive someone. Real love doesn't lead someone down a primrose path because they think it's funny. People do that. We'll tell a falsehood just to have fun with somebody. Real love doesn't do that. Real love bears all things to cover in silence. There goes them sins again. Generally meaning to conceal. Love hides the faults of others or covers them up. Love does not gossip. Believes all things. Love is not gullible, but is ever ready to believe the best of every person and will credit no evil to any, but on the most positive evidence. Love hopes all things. Real love has a positive outlook on life. Real love is positive. It endures all things. It bears up under, sustains, and does not complain. It bears up. Love is strong. Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Aren't you glad Jesus bore the cross for you? He had to bear up under it. It was love that carried that cross up that hill. It was love that put it in that hole. It was love that held him on it. And lastly, charity never fails. It'll never fail. If you love somebody, you cannot go wrong. Love your pastor, love your church, love your church members, love your wife, love your children, love your home, love your country, love your fellow man, love your neighbor, love your boss, love everybody, and you'll never go wrong. Now, you may not become the most popular guy on the block, except with the Lord. The Lord will be pleased with you. Look at Jesus. He loved the whole world and gave Himself for it. Not all of them loved Him back. And if you expect everybody in this world to love you back and pat you on the shoulder and tell you how good you are, you're going to be sorely disappointed, because that ain't going to happen. The Bible said in Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Jesus told His disciples in the 13th chapter of John, He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, if ye have love one for another." Same love, same word. We need to love one another. We need to check our love. It's something that we have to maintain. It's not something that's just going to bubble over and we're just going to have it and we don't have to do anything with it. We have to manage it. We have to express it to one another. We have to gauge our actions, to gauge our flesh. Am I doing this thing out of love, or am I doing it out of anger? Those are decisions that we have to make every day, because we live in a body of sin. Paul asked the question in Romans. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He said, "I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We live in a body of death, in a body of sin. It wars against our souls. It wars against our spirits. And none of us are exempt from this battle. Those of us that have been saved, we fight this battle every day. It's a constant warfare until the day you die. Let's be aware of it. Think about our love. What kind of love has God bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? What kind of love is it that we really possess? And what can we do with it? What can we accomplish with it if we'll just express it and let it come to the surface? May God bless you today. This is the message that God gave me to bring to you. I love all of you. I love my church. I really do. I love God's Word. I love these that are lost. And if you're here today and you are lost, you need this. You say, "Well, this is a message to the church. This is a message to God's people. It wasn't to the lost people." I'm telling you, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, you're not His. You don't belong to Him. You're not saved. You need this love. Lost people, don't let the sins of the Christians and the people that come to church when you see them dissuade you from seeking God, because you'll still go to hell. And people do that. People will say, "Well, why should I be saved? Look at how he lives." You need to be saved. You need to come to know God. You need that relationship with God. God will put His love in your heart. And I'm telling you, people, if you're really saved, that love is going to come to the surface. It's going to. Jesus said, that a good tree will bring forth good fruit. I don't believe that you can be saved and live like the devil and then claim to be saved. I don't believe it. That love, that thing that God put within you is going to come out sometime. Because we live under the rule and the domain of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives within us. His law is written in our heart, and that law presses us to do good and to live a righteous and a holy life. People need to be changed. They need to be born again. They need to know God. Need to know this love that God has that He can impute into your soul. If you're lost and you want to come today, come forward, come here. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you, pray for you. We cannot save you, but God can.